Notice what Jesus did not say. Stop holding these banquets. They're wasteful. They're decadent enough. He did not say that. But Jesus finds our so-called banquets very strange. They don't seem like banquets at all to him, because he knows what a true feast looks like. A few years ago, I was in Chicago and got to know this Order of Franciscan sisters who were there. And they have this very beautiful ministry. They live in a very tough part of town, a lot of violence. People live kind of locked behind closed doors in great fear. And so they ask themselves, okay, what should we do here? What should be our apostolate? And they decided an important part of their ministry is to throw block parties. So they got permission from the city of Chicago to shut down the street in front of their convent. And regularly now, they line the whole street with a long table and they invite everyone in the neighborhood. And they have a grand old party. A few years ago, when I was a novice, my novice master sent me to the L'Arche community in Mobile, Alabama. And if you know anything about L'Arche, it's a home for people with intellectual disabilities in which the caregivers live with those whom they serve in the same house. So my novice master sent me there for a couple of months. And in the L'Arche in Mobile, they have this very charming practice that when the core members, the people with intellectual disabilities, come in the morning to the activity center where we would spend the day, they had this custom of greeting them like it was a five-star restaurant. It was a little bit silly, but it was kind of fun. We would greet them at the door and say, oh, can I show you to your usual table? We have a very fine selection of teas, coffees this morning. What can I bring you? I played the waiter frequently, and I would put a towel over my arm, and I would come table to table, and I would say, we have a very fine Earl Grey this morning. Perhaps you'd prefer that. And people loved it. They loved it. There was so much joy every morning when we would make a big fuss over these folks whom we loved. And as I got done serving, I would sit down at the table, and almost without fail, this woman who became a dear companion of mine, Annie Pearl, one of the core members, she would take my hand and she would kind of pat it, and she'd go, my friend, you're my friend. Best banquet I've ever been to. Compare that now to the supposed banquet that Jesus has been invited to. Someone says, oh, why don't you come dine at my house? And then he gets there and he notices everyone is watching me like a hawk, observing my every move. This is not a dinner. This is a test. And then he looks around and he sees how people are choosing their seats at the table, and they're all looking for the most honorable seat. And it dawns on him, this is not a feast, this is a competition. It's like reality TV, which has no relation to reality. If you've ever been to a wedding and you think, why did they seat me at table 24? You know something of this kind of dynamic. Most bizarrely to Jesus, though, he notices who the host has decided to invite to this banquet. And they're people who look exactly like the host, friends, relatives, neighbors. For Jesus, it starts looking more and more like the little closed circle of a recluse who doesn't want to leave his home, more than a great public celebration, which is what a banquet should be. What we see in Jesus' bewilderment is the clash of two totally different mentalities. And it's important, I think, to get clarity about what these two mentalities are, because they come up over and over in our lives. On the one hand, you have the noble mentality, and on the other, the mentality of the self-made man, self-made woman. Think about a noble for a second. A noble's status is not up for change. There's no question about it. The noble receives his status or her status at the moment of birth, and there's really nothing they can do to move up or down. Why is that a good thing? Because it means that they can actually make a pure gift. They have nothing to gain, they have everything to give, and so therefore the possibility of pure gift exists. Compare that to this self-made person mentality. In that world, my status is always in question. I have to be anxiously determining, am I up, am I down? How am I crafting my life to be like this or that? And it takes on very many manifestations. It's not just big showy houses, McMansions. Okay, that's one of them. But so frequently we're looking to craft an identity for ourselves in our work, in our ideologies, our political activism even. We're always trying to craft ourselves. It's like we turn our whole lives into a big construction site, and every decision I make determines who I am. Where do I stand? Here's the good news. Jesus comes from the noblest of families because he is the Son of the Eternal Father, from whom everything comes. There's nothing more noble than that. He is free to give a gift in an absolute way. And when you and I are born into the church, when we're grafted onto Jesus Christ, we become members of the noblest household. And so it becomes possible for us, who cares what they think of me? I can make a pure gift. We've got to learn to recognize true banquets in our world, and they look strange because we're so used to the other kind of false banquet. So here at the end, I just want to propose to you one kind of really unsuspected noble banquet that we see in our lives this day. Christian families. Christian families. So unsuspected. Why? There is no one in the world poorer than a child. No one poorer than a child. And that's why Jesus uses children so frequently to illustrate what the kingdom of heaven is like. Okay, how so? Because every child depends totally upon these two people to make space in their life, not just for 9 months, but for a long time after that. Sacrifice after sacrifice to throw this great banquet that welcomes them into existence. I will tell you, it's so hard for people of my generation to accept an invitation to that banquet. It's so hard for us. Just a couple of years ago, the front cover story of Time magazine was the child-free life. Like, this is our great horizon now. It's just all, you know, voyages around the world and perfect happiness, the child-free life, no burdens. It's hard to accept. It's hard to accept the invitation to this banquet. These true banquets are the most essential formation we have for heaven, because heaven is a banquet. Heaven is a banquet, and we know that from the second reading. Heaven is not like Mount Sinai. It's not this pyrotechnic display. The mountain is there, the lightning is flashing down, the thunder is pealing. People are so scared, they're driven back at a distance. Bizarrely now, heaven is where God comes close. So close that it can be a feast, a festal gathering. And the most mind-blowing thing of all, the proof that God is the host Like any noble host, he gives the most, takes the lowest place, so much so that he becomes the food of the banquet. Let's accept that invitation to the banquet. As we receive our God as food, let's ask him to show us how to throw a true banquet.